AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. With rain in the forecast for the Corn Belt, sellers were back in control of the grain markets. Even wheat futures were willing participants in today's price setback. Lean hog futures were mixed, but boy, the cattle complex worked hard to get back Friday's price losses.
Live via Farm Journal broadcast from another calm before another storm. This is AgriTalk. This afternoon's guest analyst is Mark Rempe of Quad Commodities. We also get Kerry Artek from Artek Advisory with chart updates. Right after the news with Michelle Rook, we'll get price action perspective from Jack Scoville of the Price Futures Group. I'm producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Big Apple Joe, thank you so much. Davis has got the day off. He'll be back with us at the middle of the week, spending some time with friends, families, and just having fun here this spring. At least I hope he is. I hope he's having a great time while taking a few days off from the show. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us. Wow, big day for the grain markets. Corn just modestly lower, but double digits losses in soybeans. Soybean meal was under pressure, some heavy pressure. Soybean oil tried to hang out close to unchanged for most of the day, but then gave it up late in the session. Wheat was lower, but man, oh man, big rally in the cattle complex, mixed trade in lean hog futures. All right, Michelle Rook, national reporter, Farm Journal broadcast, joins us right now. How are you, Michelle?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks, Chip.
You bet. You bet. So we're making some progress out there on planting. I think guys are a little cautious going into this week with the rain and some cooler temps at the end of the week.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I guess we'll see what we get in the crop progress report this afternoon. There's some areas that I know made great strides over the weekend, but most of those were like Kansas and Missouri and some of those southern areas, not so much up here in the north.
Yeah. Waiting for things to be just about perfect before they start rolling up in the north is what it feels like the plan is for this year. So, okay. Before we get Jack in here, let's go ahead and get to the news in the markets. What happened?
Well, weather obviously was reflected in these lower grain prices today. Wheat futures did start the week slightly lower, dropping through support at last week's lows, then recovering to close mid-range and well above session lows. MASOP red winter wheat futures caught in a sideways trading range with support at 540. Export inspections of wheat in the week ending April 11th, totaling 551,000 metric tons, that topped trade expectations and helped prices recover at least from overnight price lows. The chance for beneficial rains in hard red winter wheat country generated much of the pressure on wheat prices. July HRW wheat futures were 6.25 cents lower at 580.75. July SRW wheat down 3.75 cents at 567.5. July spring wheat closing at 644, down 6 cents on the day.
You know, and it just feels like a general lack of a reason to go higher. The lack of a positive headline for this wheat market right now is just kind of a wet blanket over the market.
Yeah, and the funds are selling in all sectors, it seems like, on just about every little uptick. So, yeah. Corn export inspections in the week ending April 11th, totaling just over 1.3 million metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. This morning, USDA also announced the sale of 165,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico. And in that sale included 30,000 tons for delivery in the 2024-25 marketing year, new crop. May corn opened lower and near session highs and settled near session lows while posting an inside trading day. Spillover selling from losses in wheat, the lack of threat to the Safrinha corn crop, and the chance for rain and dry areas of the U.S. Corn Belt all got credit for pressure on corn prices. May corn futures 4 cents lower at 431.5. Dease corn closing at 469.25, down 2.75 cents.
You know, I do pay attention to the national forecast, the national weather forecast, and I pay attention to, of course, BAM WX and others. But every now and then you got to zero in on what the local guys are telling you, Michelle. They're talking about 2 to 3 inches of rain here over the next 72 hours in northeast Iowa. That would be more rain than we've had in one event. I believe it would go back to 2022 to find a time when we had that much rain in one event. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, that'll be welcome, I think, for a lot of this trade. Well, export inspections of soybeans totaling this morning nearly 433,000 metric tons and in line with expectations. The start of the soybean planting in the middle of the Corn Belt and the potential for rain over the next 72 hours was negative for prices. The NOPR crush report reported soybean crushing in March, 196.4 million bushels, up almost 6% from last March and a new all-time record for any month, but it was still about 1.3 million bushels below trade expectations. Bean oil stocks were steady with a year ago and above trade expectations as well. May beans posted an inside trading day with a high range open and a low range close. May soybeans 15¾ cents lower at 11.58¾. November beans closed at 11.67¼, down 9 cents on the day, pretty much erasing all the gains from Friday. And July cotton was 56 points higher, 85.15.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's finish this
following
up.
Following Friday's sell-off, June live cattle opened higher and on session lows, rallied to spike resistance at last week's highs, and then fell back to close mid-range. June live cattle jumped 235 to 173.82 and a half. May feeders were $3.80 higher to 283 even. And lean hog futures were down. Well, June hogs were up for the day, 37 and a half higher at 102.45.
Yeah, those back month or the summer month contracts, July, August, October, all
under
pressure.
Yeah, we had some bull
today.
Spreading. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Absolutely. All right, Michelle. Thank you.
You bet.
Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Yep. Let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. How you doing, Jack?
Doing great. How about you?
Not too bad. Hey, are these markets making a transition from South American crops to U.S. crops? Is that the time we're in now?
Yeah, I think so. We're starting to pick up more and more planting progress here. The beans getting underway. Corn should be, less than 10% planted, but still increased from last week. And slowly but surely, our focus is switching out of South America, where the crops should be pretty much made, except, well, the Safrinha corn, no, but the beans and the summer corn definitely in the bin and moving and keeping the markets under a little bit of pressure there. But unless there's something that really surprises with the Safrinha weather, we're going to start paying more and more attention to our weather.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Really not too shook up about, it's a little wet in the Eastern Belt. We've got these rains coming into the Central Belt. Nobody's too shook up or concerned about, a late start to a planting season at this point, are they?
No, it's only April 15th after all. So we've got time to get these into the ground. If this lasts another couple of weeks, then there's going to be some pretty big grumbling. But for right now, nobody seems real concerned. I'd say there's probably more concern about what's going on down south, the Delta and Southeast, than there is up here.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Jack, good stuff, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, great.
All right, that's Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Okay, what are growers in eastern Iowa thinking, southern Iowa in particular? What's the plan for the year ahead, and what do we do about marketing this new crop, corn and soybeans? Mark Rempe is next.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. Davis has got the day off. Be back with us at the middle of the week. Today's guest analyst, Mark Rempe from Quad Commodities, Oskaloosa, Iowa, joins us right now. Mark, it's great to talk with you again. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Glad to be back.
Excellent, excellent. How's things down there in, what do we call it? Do we call it South Central Iowa?
Yeah, we call it South Central Iowa, and it's really dry, probably a little drier than it was last year at this time. And corn and bean planters have been rolling hard for about a week. So a lot of stuff's, you know, getting put in on really good conditions.
Okay. All right. A little worried about this rain that's coming up this tomorrow or not?
I haven't talked to anybody who's slowing down, so I guess they're not worried about it.
Yeah, yeah. I talked to a few guys up here in the northern part of the state that have just decided, you know what, I'm going to wait until this rain gets through, and then we'll take a look at putting the corn in the ground. They're planting beans. Mark, I don't know exactly when the transition happened, but planting beans doesn't seem to scare anybody anymore.
No, I remember doing it back with the 15-foot John Deere drill back in the 80s and 90s. And my beans would come up early, and then they got ate off by the bugs. So yeah. I went back to doing it later myself. But beans are a lot tougher now, and they everybody's doing it. And I get the idea behind it, to get the maximum amount of sunlight on the plant at the right time. So,
yeah,
if you can avoid the bugs, everybody's doing it. So it seems to be working good.
Yep. Yep, no doubt. Not just the cool kids anymore. It's everybody that's doing it, Jets. That's exactly right. So what do you make of the condition of these markets this spring? And, you know, I'm thinking about the positioning of the funds. I'm thinking about the positioning of the commercials, Mark. Good grief. Everything seems a little backwards right now.
Yeah, it is backwards. And, I don't like the condition of the market. But I think if you look back from November here, right after harvest, and you see, well, we've broken over $2.50 in beans and, you know, well over a dollar in corn. It started way back then to put us in the position we're in now. So the funds have been short and have made a lot of money being short, and it's totally counter seasonal. So for the farmers that don't have as much marketed, you know, they can't be too hard on themselves, because it is counter seasonal, and it was the ratcheting down process from higher prices that after a couple of years we were expecting. We just didn't know when. And probably that, you know, the war that broke out 2 years ago, it was maybe going to roll over then. And then all of a sudden that changed the whole thing for another year, year and a half. So that's where it started. And from here, you don't like seeing the funds so short this time of year. The good thing is that they're short. We kind of bottomed there the 1st of March. And now we're trying to stabilize, and we just need a spark to get these funds to cover and give guys a chance to do something.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking about needing that spark for a long time, a couple of months when you get right down to it. And I realize that it takes time for markets to work through issues and to give incentive to change up big positions, especially when that big position is a winning position. I had even gotten to the point, Mark, that I was thinking, well, just the simple fact that they've got profits and don't want to see the profits get away might be enough to get them out of those short positions at this point. But that doesn't seem to be proving true. I don't know. I'm not sure what is going to be the catalyst to change to change up the money flow of the funds at this point.
Yeah, I'm kind of the way you were thinking, but if you kind of look and see what's happened now, especially corn and beans here lately, we're, you know, we bottomed and we're coming up, we're trading in a range. Maybe just the fact we stopped going down, you stop making money, all of a sudden that chart line gets a little flat. And maybe, you know, fund managers think, well, what's my reward being short, you know, 431 corn with the whole growing season in front of me versus my risk where we could pop this thing a dollar like nothing if something would change weather-wise or some other event would come up, some unexpected demand. So the risk reward eventually, I think, will take care of itself.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly the way to explain it. The risk reward and just the simple potential in the market. You got to make some move. But it's got to have guys rethinking and kind of retooling risk management strategies. We came off, you said it, we came off of at least 2 years. For some, it was 3 years of really positive returns on the crops that they had in the ground. This year, it's not looking so spiffy. It's got to have a lot of people rethinking and retooling their risk management strategies.
Yeah, definitely. And I think one thing that we need to first think about is when we start selling, if you're used to selling, you know, 10% increments, you need to sell probably 25 to 33% and really steepen that selling curve when we do get hopefully some kind of retracement here as we get into the growing season. So okay. That's the first thing you need to look at is saying, okay, we're going to have a scale up selling approach in both corn and beans. And we do have gaps back in, you know, from on the way down, they're about halfway down in the beans. Actually only and new crop beans are only about 80 cents away and new crop corn about 50 cents away. So keep it, you know, we're using those gaps as targets. They don't always get filled, but eventually they get filled. So, you know, it wouldn't take much of a pop to get 50 cents and 80 cents on new crop. So that's, you know, a good thing to start with.
Well, okay. It wouldn't take much to get that much to get a 50 cent and 80 cent rally, corn and beans. But in this environment, that's a rally, Mark. That is not an insignificant price move in this environment, right?
No, that's why, you know, the rallies we've had since we bottomed here have been pretty uninspiring. You know, we had corn up 15, 16 cents the other day, and that was great. And that's why I'm saying we have to steepen our selling curve because, you know, getting back anywhere close to last November's highs are going to take a total change of North American weather. That's our best chance to have a big change. But, it's a whole different deal, and it's hard to get this thing turned around. So,
yeah. Yep. You know, I don't like it when we're in this situation, and you just said it. It's gonna take a crop problem. That's the quickest fix for the markets that we're in, because if we're gonna wait around for demand to come back in this kind of an environment, we're gonna be waiting a long time, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, you know, these low prices are horrible, but the thing is that is helpful is if you want to, you know, get that cash sold, and whether we're talking new crop or old crop, you can buy in the money September calls, corn and beans, or corn, you know, 25, 30 cents, beans probably 35, maybe 40 cents, gives you the vast majority of the growing season, and the volatility is cheap, which makes the calls cheap and the prices are cheap. So if you get a spark, you know, you have that. It's not like you're buying something that's a couple of dollars higher than it was, you know, a couple of years ago. So that is one helpful thing. You get a lot of bang for your buck if this thing would turn.
Yeah. 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 Good. What kind of a strategy are you putting in place to put yourself in a position to take advantage of that, Mark? I mean, what's the combination of options that you're looking at?
I like looking at the money September calls because that gives you that extra month, and both corn and beans. I mean, you can go further, but it's a little bit more expensive, and July doesn't give you enough time. And even if the market would peak by the third week of July in beans, like it usually peaks before that, but you'd still be in the game at that point, where if you're in the July, it's not quite enough time. So that's the cheapest, most effective way. And new and old crop will trade enough together that it'll work for you.
Interesting. You're looking, you know, when prices are as low, when volatility is as low as it is in the grains, it does give you the flexibility of building a position that's got more time involved in it, doesn't it? Just simply because the time isn't worth as much in a lower volatility environment. So be a little creative is what I hear you saying.
Yeah, you have to be creative. And I'm thinking mainly about new crop now. Another thing that, you know, what I'm really focusing on is if you look at your new crop cash corn bid versus May, for example, there's 31 cents carry built in right now in a cash bid. I couldn't even get a good cash bid for next May in beans. But the November to July spread's only 21 cents on the board. So there's not much carry there. And I guess when we get back, I can finish on this thought and tell you what I'm thinking there. So.
Yep. Okay. We are talking with Mark Rampe from Quad Commodities down in Oskaloosa about one thing that we also need to get to is I want to take just a subtle turn on this and look at covering feed needs for livestock producers. We'll do that next. Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and recap where the markets closed July. HRW wheat futures, 6.25 cents lower at 580.75. July SRW wheat down 3.25 cents to 567.5. May corn futures, 4 cents lower, 431.5. December corn futures closed at 469.25, down 2.75 cents. May beans down 15.75 cents, 1158.75. November soybeans closed at 1167.25, down 9 cents on the day. July cotton was up 56 points at 85.15. June live cattle jumped 235 to 173.82.5. May feeder cattle $3.80 higher at 238 even. June hogs 37.5 higher, 102.45. Give ProFarmer a try. Try ProFarmer.com.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. We are in the middle of a conversation with Mark Rempe from Quad Commodities down in Oskaloosa, Iowa. Mark, flesh out that conversation that we were having at the end of the last segment on new crop risk management there. Where do you want to end up with that thing?
Well, the important factor is when prices are low and interest rates are low, you just lock in the carry and you stick the carry in your pocket. And it's a pretty big percentage. So from harvest until May for corn next year is 31 cents. And just the board carry in November to July in beans, well, that's only 21 cents. Beans are a lot flatter. But you go back and say, okay, a 9% interest on your operating note, that's 3.33 cents per bushel per month in corn and 8.6 in beans. So you got to change your psychology. And instead of just locking in the carry, you know, in corn, yeah, you still stick a dime in your pocket. In beans, it won't come close to doing anything now. And what you might want to do if you already have your facilities and you want to run them through your own facilities and do all that, probably what you should look at is just spinning right back around there in late November and December, maybe early January, and just, you can probably get a 20-cent pop between basis and futures in corn and maybe 30 in beans, and just put them right back out there, because storing them into this time of year or summer for next year, you know, at 8.6 cents a month in beans, you chew up a lot of money in a hurry.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you got to change your psychology and here again, scale up selling and pick your time frame and either use futures or options or, you know, cash or futures would be more efficient, because it's not going to be too exciting here until something changes to make it exciting.
Yep. Yep. That's right. Now, those factors that you were and everything that you just said made a world of sense. And the same factors that you were just talking about come into play when you're making decisions on how long you're going to extend your feed coverage, excuse me, your feed coverage for livestock producers, right?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I'm looking at this soybean meal chart, or looking at the different months here on the screen right now. And, you know, there's hardly any carry, and I'd sow up everything 100%, at least to new crop. I mean, you might get 20, 30 bucks cheaper in meal. It's kind of like the risk reward we're talking about in corn. You might make 20 or 30 cents, but something changes, you might lose a buck 30 in a hurry too. So I would not get cute with the markets, and I'd sow it up and just realize it's cheap. May get a little cheaper, but you got till new crop to figure that out. If you think if we bring home a big crop, then it's a whole new ball game again.
Yeah. Mark, I don't know if I've seen a soybean meal market that decided to trade as flat as it is all the way out to the October for as long as it has. The lack of any spread at all in that market is pretty astonishing.
Yeah, and for the end user, you know, it's great.
Yeah, yeah. So take advantage of it as long as it's there, no question. So I agree with you. I like the idea of getting the extended coverage out there for the livestock guys right now. Summer month, fall month, hogs. Summer month hogs. There's some margin in there, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. You know, and if we would have had this conversation a week ago, I would have said, you know, if you throw out last year, we had 3 years in a row where we got in the 120s with the summer months. And I would have said, yeah, there's pretty good chance we might do that. Cutouts coming up, everything's looking good, even though we have plenty of supply, seems like we're exporting enough. And man, Wednesday came around and then Friday came around, and we just quickly lost, you know, $8 in that market. And so I'm not wild about selling the futures here. I mean, you can buy $100 puts in the June for 275, 320 or 320 in July, and 480 in August. And I just have that for something to keep you sane, because I think there's fundamentals for this market to come back. But with the funds being so long in that market, and then the war thing coming out after the first break on Wednesday, I mean, we chewed through a lot of equity in a hurry there.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you look at the fundamentals in the hog market, what is it that makes you think there might be some potential for price gains?
Well, I think we're really current, and I think that we are, you know, I think the herd's contracted more than the USDA says it has. I just can't believe that these efficiency gains are making up all the difference like they're preaching to us. And around the world, you know, we're cheap, and our competitors have already made the big cuts, and so they're getting good prices in the EU, and so their stuff is more expensive. So I think we're set perfect here. It's just, you know, it took years and years of pain. At some point, I think this hog market's going to be decent again.
Yeah. You know, Mark, one of the things that I cannot understand, and from my point of view, a consumer's point of view, when I look at the whole loin prices at the meat case, it's a hell of a deal. That's great news for me. Okay. But how can that be? How can that loin be as cheap as it is, Mark?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's more margins on other parts, definitely. But yeah, they're terrible cheap. And you know, we should be having, that should spur a lot of great demand, but, and I think it will. It's just,
okay.
You know, it, but it takes time, but you know, the hams are doing good and we're sending a lot of hams to Mexico. And so, yeah, I was feeling a lot better 7 days ago than I am today. Even Wednesday, I was feeling really good, but man, when they whack you like that, then you start going back and wondering what changed and what happened. And then you look at how long the funds are and you say, okay, well, throw a war event and any kind of fear and all of a sudden things change.
Is there anything in the conversation about what's going on in the U.S. economy? Is that having an impact on corn or on the cattle and hog pricing right now?
Yeah, I think it definitely does. If you watch the cattle, you know, they seem to do well when the S&Ps are doing well.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
You know, so I definitely think that there's a good connection in the cattle. And, you know, we're still, even though after this big sell-off, we're still at really high prices. And so our volatility has been crazy and kind of keeps your head spinning. Same time, we're still at relatively high prices. And percentage-wise, our moves aren't probably quite as crazy as they were when we were trading in the 70s and 80s instead of the 180s. But it's not for the faint of heart, I can tell you that.
No, that's for sure. That's for sure. Okay, so those $100 puts, June, July, August in the hogs, are you looking at doing anything to keep yourself sane in cattle?
I'm not sure that's possible.
That's the reason for the chuckle, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not crazy about selling futures right here, right now. I kind of want to see how things play out a little bit after this big dip. But look at your whole card and see where your break evens are. And if you need to, you need to. And knowing that this is kind of the bearish time frame, you know, from now till fall is usually a little more bearish. And maybe that would be the thing to do. It's just, you know, you got to have your banker right there with you when you have $5-6 moves in a day.
Yep. Mark, we keep looking to the economic, the financial side of the equation. We keep looking at the weather conditions, grass conditions, grassland conditions, for a sign of when the herd rebuilding on the beef cow side is going to start. Is there more that we should be looking at? I mean, is it an industry that's going to rebuild, or are we just looking at a smaller herd going forward?
I think it's just going to be a smaller herd going forward, unless you can, you know, find some help labor wise. You know, this kind of all started a long time ago when the smaller herds in the South, the people got out and the next generation didn't get in. And now you're going to kind of have that here in the Midwest and the West. And it's, you know, the capital it takes, if you want to buy a pair right now and interest at 9, I just think it's going to be a slow rebuild, if any, and the timing's not set up right with our aging, you know, producer. So I don't see it rebuilding much at all for a while.
Well, if that's the case, and I am not going to argue with you on that point at all, if that's the case, there's a tide lifting this cattle complex for quite some time, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think our biggest concern would be if we import too much. Now, we're importing quite a bit, but people have to look every Thursday morning at that export report. We're also exporting a fair amount. So
yeah,
the packers like to remind you that we're importing a lot, which is true. And going forward, you know, you got to pay attention to your Australian herd and South America herd. But at least we've been able to export a fair amount while we're also importing. So, yeah, I think the cattle thing looks pretty good here for a while, just because I think it's going to be tough to rebuild at the costs as they are.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as we're exporting what doesn't really work in our meat case, that's okay for the consumer out there, but the consumer, they sure don't want to see the loins or the ribs getting exported. There's no question about that. So,
yeah, definitely
got to keep track of it. And it's a good point to remember there on the imports of beef and how that the importing the trim is kind of keeping this hamburger market alive for us. I don't think there's any question about it. Mark, it's always great to talk with you, man. Thank you so much for making time. Good luck and stay safe.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chip.
You bet. You bet. Mark Rampe down in Oskaloosa, Iowa, Quad Commodities. Okay, it's Monday. That means it is time to take a look at the charts and figure out what they might be telling us for the week and the month ahead. We've got Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory, coming up next here on AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
You suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk.
Great conversation there with Mark Rempe, Quad Commodities. Always enjoy those conversations with Mark. And I always enjoy conversations with all of our guest analysts, but there's something about the guys that are raising hogs, are growing a crop, are also running a shop for a brokerage. When you start talking about things like feed, and it's just plain and simple, you look at the spreads, you look at the carry, you look at the interest rates, you got to own it through the end of the year because of the flat market that we got in soybean meal. Just it comes together pretty quick for those guys, no question about it. All right, let's get to Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. How you doing, Kerry?
I'm doing pretty good, Chip. How about yourself?
Doing just fine, just fine. Don't forget, if you would like to get a 2-week free trial of Kerry's daily service, go to artakadvisory.com. That's artakadvisory.com. And get signed up. Okay, buddy, here we go. Kind of the big three, July corn, July beans, and July wheat. Hit us.
That's right. July corn, it's the same with the still lead contract in May, 481 and a quarter, well above the market. We closed today at 444 and a quarter, but I'm mentioning 481 and a quarter because that is our ceiling of resistance. Mm-hmm. It's about an 8-month channel top on the weekly chart that can contain monthly, possibly seasonal buying pressures. Bottom line, with 481 and a quarter, the longer term corn futures market remain in a bear trend below 481 and a quarter. We could continue to see lower pricing as we move into summer. Now, near term, we're kind of in this consolidated framework with a near term floor of support at 438.5 and a ceiling of resistance at 458 and three quarter. If we close this week above 458 and three quarter, I think over the next couple of weeks, we should see 481 and a quarter, where once again we could top out into summer and then fall away again, as we have many times over the last 6 months. If we can close above 481 and a quarter, that should set off a summer rally. Over the following 2 to 3 months, I would expect the 565 region, roughly, where we find our next long-term trouble spot. Downside, given the bearish, the bear trend below 481 and a quarter, closing below 438.5, it's pretty stair step on the way down. 405 even, the next 2 to 3 week target. We could sort of slinky our way all the way into the 340s, perhaps, as we move into later year. But there's no clarity on 340s as a long-term objective unless we, you know, settle below 405 even. So it is stair-step, but 481 and a quarter, our big resistance area that we need to get up and over the next month or two to set off a rally into the 560s. On to July soybeans, similar dynamic. The July soybeans has a long-term resistance at 1220. We close today at 1172, so about 50 cents higher. I don't expect to see that level anytime soon, but we could over the next few weeks, perhaps, if we hold above 1151 and a quarter. That's about 20 cents south of where we close today. 1151 and a quarter, we could bottom out there through May, perhaps, rally back to 1220 even, where the July contract could top out through the balance of its life. If we close below 1151 and a quarter, that sets off a significant sell signal over the next couple of months into the 1087 and three quarter area. 1087 and three quarter has been a long-term target since early January. It's just, we're sort of stalled out. And if we close below 1151 and a quarter, we should see 1087 and three quarter within a month or two, where the broader soybean market could place an annual low. Upside, not going to happen this week, but if over the next few weeks we can close above that 1220 level, that should set off a 2 to 3 month rally, a summer rally, if you will, into like the 1285 to 1313 region. There's a lot going on there that could contain buying through the balance of the year with respect to the broader soybean market. We need to get up and over 1313 to call a good low for the year, and that's not going to happen anytime soon. Finally, July wheat, it finds its trend resistance well above the market at 606 even. We close today at 567.5. So if over the next month or two we test 606 even, that is a level that could contain buying into June, July, into July expiration. We could fall away from there. And inside of all that, we do have a near-term two-sided framework at 557 and a quarter, actually, is a floor of support that can contain selling into May. And we actually could, over the next 3 to 5 weeks, test 606. 606 even is the upward pivot point for the broader wheat market as we move into summer. If we can close above 606 even, we're looking for $7 within about 2 to 3 months. But until then, the dynamic is a lower low, lower high over the last 6 or 8 months. Downside, if we close below 537 and three quarter, we're looking at 502 even within another 3 to 5 weeks. And at 502 even, the July wheat could bottom out into expiration. I'll say, in terms of the big picture, the last thing I'll say is holding below 606 even, July wheat does keep 502 even in reach by its expiration. We need to close above 606 even to set off a rally into the low $7 area. That pretty much sums it up.
Gotcha, Kerry. All right, good stuff. Again, don't forget, www.artacadvisory.com to get signed up for the 2-week free trial. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir.
All right,
very good.
Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Waiting for the National Weather Service 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day outlooks to update. As far as I can tell, they have not done so yet. Still looking for the updates there. But as of the update yesterday on the 14th, and this would have been for April 20th through the 24th, we still are looking at below normal temperatures across the central and eastern Corn Belt, near normal in the northern production areas, below normal precipitation across most of the Corn Belt. The 8 to 14 day, boy, you talk about a transition, and this could be why things are a little bit delayed. Out with the below normal temperatures and in with the above normal temperatures in the 8 to 14 day for the April 22nd through the 28th. So very short period of time going through a potential major change, including on the precip front with above, or chances for above normal precipitation moving into the central, northern, and western production areas, eastern Corn Belt, southern Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, Tennessee, southern Missouri, still looking at near normal to below normal precipitation in that time frame. So heads up, going through some changes in the outlook. Thank you so much for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning. We're going to talk about several issues happening for the corn growers. NCGA President Harold Woolley is going to be joining us. And then we're going to talk the energy outlook with Jordan Fife from BioUrja. Tomorrow afternoon, Craig Turner from StoneX Group here on AgriTalk.